Running a business can be exhausting. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 5, Episode 5 of Shit's Creek, Housewarming Party. And of course, as always, I'm joined by someone who loves to call people big guy, Stuart.
You call it big guy? I'm so glad you actually did intro with that, because I was going to call you it no matter what. Like,
of course, you have to.
Drunk Ted's a vibe, isn't he?
Drunk Ted on wine coolers. On wine coolers. I feel like that is an important distinction. Do you have wine coolers in the UK?
So I describe wine coolers, because I think we do. I think we call them something else, so, but I want to confirm that I'm thinking the right things.
Yeah, generally I would refer to them as like a malt beverage, alcoholic beverage, where it's usually like, they give me headaches personally, so I'm not a big fan, but like Seagram's is like a brand I think of, or like Smirnoff Ices, if you're from generation.
Alco Pops is what we would call them.
What do you call them?
Alco Pops.
Alcopa. That sounds accurate, actually.
Yeah, like to what it would be. Yeah, they're kind of like soft drinks that are alcoholic, and they're like a transitional alcohol.
They're for 19-year-olds who are like trying to drink, but like.
Sorry, you and your sweet like American sentiment when it comes to drinking. I'm there thinking, yeah, they're kind of like the standard for like 14, 15-year-olds.
Listen, here, I suppose some people do that, but I didn't actually drink until I was, I don't know, 20, maybe even older than that, actually.
That's wild to me.
I know. I was boring.
About 20 was when I was thinking, oh, I think I've drunk too much in my life. I need to cut it down.
Well, today we're talking about a pretty incredible episode, Stuart. I warned you last time. I was like, oh, I know this one. And I think I immediately kind of set you up to be excited about watching it. Overall thoughts on Housewarming Party?
I'm so surprised that this wasn't spoiled for me. Like, I would imagine I would have seen a gif of the kiss, the outfits. There's so much from this that is so great. Like, Stevie just being like, I smell drama. Like, it's just a lot that I would imagine I should have seen. Maybe I have. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to it, like, way back in the day before we'd started watching. But this was a... this was a banger episode, which is surprising because it's a two-plot episode. Ordinarily, we keep talking about like an ABC, like kind of plot level. This was only an A and a B, which is really
the
strange.
The thing is like both of them are just so strong though. Like, yeah. I feel like maybe we've heard Moira say bebe like one time in the series run so far, but this is the episode. This is the one where everyone started to be like, the bebe, especially... the bebe, yeah. Because I don't know timing wise, like what years, but there was that Star Wars show with the like, I'd like to see the baby. And it was like, I'd like to see the bebe. Like it was like the crossover, you know, Mandalorian, right? I'm sorry. I'm so not a Star Wars person.
I wish to see the baby. Yes. Yeah. I know exactly the reference you're referring to. Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like this episode. It's just everything. It just doesn't miss throughout the entire episode. It's so good. There's like a little bit of drama, but not serious drama. You have so many characters being included in it as well, which I think is impressive. I love this episode. It's so good. I feel like we also have some iconic outfits in general, and not just for Moira, who's usually wearing an iconic outfit, but like,
oh yeah, just,
you know, like Alexis's look, obviously Ted's look, obviously.
The his and his PJs with Patrick and David, just
yes,
so incredible. Like the fact that the color schemes exactly to what they always wear was just
yeah,
oh, Jeff's kiss.
That light so blue good. Though, that light blue though, Stuart. You know, even
it
in his gym jams,
4 and a bit minutes to get to that. Yeah.
This podcast could also be like subtitled Jess Thirst After Patrick Wearing Blue. And then our Last of Us podcast could be subtitled Jess Thirst After Jesse's Arms.
Yeah, it's been a thirsty week.
It's not my fault. The shows do it to me. Mm-hmm. Okay, but before we get into the episode, don't forget to subscribe. Might as well throw it out there. If you're not already, do it. Follow us on YouTube at Talkin' Shit. And of course, if you want to send in any feedback you have, podcast@talkinshit.com is where you can do it. Let's get into the episode recap. I don't even know where to begin because Johnny volunteers to babysit Roland Jr. when Roland and Jocelyn run out of other options for their nighttime couples massage. He wants to prove that him and Moira were capable of being hands-on parents. Moira is not happy. She promised Ronnie she'd watch her Lifetime movie, Not Without My Cousin, but ends up staying home with Johnny to help with the baby. But she doesn't really help. Luckily, Jocelyn's baby binder aids their babysitting journey, and it all ends well after a little bit of spit up and probably some poo explosions. Meanwhile, Patrick is throwing a housewarming party with the theme of high school slumber party. Things get a little wild when Ted shows up drunk on Alexis's wine coolers and kisses David in a game of spin the bottle. Both Patrick and Alexis are jealous, culminating in them kissing one another in front of David to prove a point. The only point they prove is that they have absolutely zero chemistry.
Yum.
So bad. The amount of like noises
awful.
Is
awful.
Wrong. It's honestly go to jail. All's well that ends well, as David is tickled by Patrick's jealousy, and Alexis brings home big guy Ted to put him to bed. And that's what happened on our episode, Stuart.
So good. And like, it speaks to the strengths of this episode that it is an A and B plot episode, that we don't have a C to like kind of like to shoehorn some people in, to bolster things up. We linger on this housewarming, and I'm so glad we did, because every second of it, I appreciated. There wasn't like a moment I would want to cut from this. If anything, I wanted more. I wanted it to be an A-plot episode with just the housewarming, because it was top tier shenanigans from start to be like to end. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the theme. First of all, I feel like high school slumber party is a very fun theme because everyone can just wear their like little gym jams. They show up all cozy. That sounds like a perfect way to have a party. Jello shots, 10 out of 10. Like you, Stuart, do you do jello shots over there? Is that a thing? You don't call it gelatin?
They certainly exist. Must have had one in the past, but. Not at my age.
Okay, but like, when you were in uni, when you were like, younger days.
They're like, all form of novelty alcohol absolutely would have been imbibed, like when you're in peak drinking age. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Jello shots are incredible. And I remember once, I think I was hanging out with my friends and we were like, oh, we'll make Jello shots. And my friend at the time was like in nursing school. And so in order to have like a vessel to put the Jello shots in, she stole a bunch of those like I assume you had them, like when you're about to take a liquid medicine, there's those little cups that kind of measure out how much you're supposed to have. She stole a bunch of those. Well, the problem was the Jello got stuck inside all of them. So then we had to take like butter knives and like, you know, scrape around the sides to get them suckers out. But always worth it. Jello shots are incredible. I'm pretty sure half of my mom's side of the family doesn't do Jello shots anymore, because for her 40th birthday party, they all got so drunk.
That's the thing. They're so deceptive, because you're like, oh, it's Jello. Like, this. Oh, okay. There's maybe a slight kick to it. but like, oh, it's just jello. And so you just like hammer them down and you get absolutely wrecked so quickly.
Yeah.
That's why they're really dangerous. Also,
same thing with those gummy bears. Did you ever do those?
Gummy bears?
You never did them? So you take like a, I think I've used like flavored rum is what I've done in the past, like a clear rum. And you soak gummy bears in like a clear rum for like 24 hours, maybe more. And then they expand and then you eat them.
Never knew that. No, never tried that. So there's Skittles vodka. That's like the classic.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Do you have Skittles? Yeah. You put them in.
Are they the same as your Skittles? Taste the Rainbow? Is it the same type?
Yes, Taste the Rainbow ones. Yeah, it's just basically just sugar. And
don't you call Skittles M&M's or something? What are your M&M's called?
M&M's.
Oh. Maybe I'm thinking of Canada. I don't know. Sorry, continue.
But yeah, you separate them by color and you get like different color vodkas and they're like flavored. They're just sugary. But the worst thing I was introduced to was, oh gosh. So my friend, I know, she's from Finland, and she introduced us to this awful, awful drink because there's a mint called Fisherman's Friends. Do you have them? They're like
Fisherman's Friends?
They're kind of like an aniseedy mint.
They come in like a paper pack.
And what you do is you infuse them into vodka and it goes into this kind of slightly aniseedy, minty flavor.
I hate that. No.
It's not good.
I just don't want to consume large amounts of mint.
I will say there is an upside, and I'm going to give everyone a warning because this is going to be disgusting here.
Oh, no, when you vomit.
When you do chunda, at least your breath is minty fresh.
Chunder. I forgot that you say chunder. Have you ever heard of a thing called jungle juice?
Jungle juice? No.
So this is very, it's both very like high school, college, and also very redneck. So jungle juice is basically like what like college age kids would do because they didn't have a ton of money to buy booze. So you'd just kind of just throw a bunch of stuff in like a big tub, cooler. Oh. I don't even know what. Just pour all different. And I think you use like fruit punch is supposed to like help make it taste good, but it tastes vile. And it's just like whatever you got on hand, all in the same container.
Yeah, that is always the risk because some people, like, you can engineer it so that maybe it's somewhat possible because you get like clear spirits and you just mask it with a fruit punch kind of like blend or whatever like that. The problem is there'll be some idiot that will throw in like a Bailey's or something ridiculous that just
like
ruins
a cream
it.
That isn't going to mix well. Yeah.
You don't need that at all.
I outgrew all of that bullshit. Okay. Like I'm not 18 anymore. Okay. Hangovers hurt. They're painful. Yeah. Heartburn? The first time I had heartburn, I thought I was dying. Like, and it was because I had like multiple, was it hard ciders? Or no, I drink a ton of like hard seltzers. I don't know. It was something like that. And it gave me the worst heartburn the next day. Yeah. I don't even know how we got here. Right. So the party, high school
slumber party. Is how we got here. Yeah, what I was going to say on the jello shots, they're not elegant to like consume.
No, because you
in the
slurp
slightest.
Them down.
Yeah, which is why the whole Patrick, like almost like force feeding one to David was just, I'm not sure if it was meant to be comedic or romantic, maybe a blend, but it certainly didn't come across romantic because it was just so awkward.
I'm not going to make the noise, but the noise was disgusting and I hated it.
Yeah, the slurp was slurping.
Yeah,
it was
so,
very waterboardy. So
it was very waterboardy.
Is that an idea for 200? Do we just get absolutely wrecked on jello shots?
Yes. Yes, we do. We do a lot of jello shots before a podcast. That sounds incredible.
Awful. Awful.
Yeah.
We have laws against being drunk on like media when it comes to the UK. Like, for
really?
TV and radio.
But
and stuff
you all
like
are
that.
Like the most pro-alcohol country.
for certain things. So I used to do a radio show when I was at uni. Shock horror. Did podcasting. Shock horror. And we were on an FM radio wave. So we had like very strict rules because we were like one of the first stations to be on the FM radio waves. And Ofcom, who are the regulatory body, they were like, cannot be drunk. You cannot even talk about light drinking and stuff like that. But we were on the really, really late show. And when everyone was like just getting back. And so we were like there and we'd take down loads of beer and like drink it while we're in the studio. And then we realized that we had wine bottles, but we didn't have a bottle opener. So we threw competitions for people to turn up with a wine bottle opener and then they'd just get drunk with
us. That's incredible. That's incredible.
So wow. Dumb.
So we need to talk about some of these games that they're playing at this point. So the first game we see them playing is Never Have I Ever. Now, is this a game
staple.
I was going to say, this has to be a game you've played. Everyone's played this. I mean, we played it pre-drinking, like when I was like 16. I think we used to play on our fingers and it was like you would put fingers down. When we were too young to drink, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm the... Let's see. I don't know. I'm not really any of these characters because I was always the one who like hadn't really done a lot of things.
Okay. So you're
the
opposite to Stevie.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I'm the Alexis in this. I am the embodiment of chaos and carnage, and I will say things that I know to be secrets as a way of like getting them out there and shaming people. Because what is the purpose of this game otherwise?
Like, well, the thing is, it's hard not to target specific people. Like, it's really hard not to, you know?
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than saying, never have I ever, and then no one drinks. It's like, it's boring. So you have to get at least one guaranteed thing.
Yeah.
And so to guarantee that, make sure that someone has definitely done it and they're definitely embarrassed. And mm-hmm. it makes a conversation point. Yeah, you've got to do it that way.
I also love Twyla being like, I haven't done this, but can I drink? Because I'm really thirsty. Love her so much.
She's so sweet. I love that she thinks she can't drink otherwise.
Then we get into Spin the Bottle, which, fun fact, literally I've never played Spin the Bottle. Never. Why? In my life.
So TV has this strange obsession with Spin the Bottle because it's always like romanticized or like made more comedic in TV. It's always, in any situation where I have observed or participated, it is awkward, it is awful, and I would just, if I could purge all memories of it from like my brain, I absolutely could. I'm not saying this as if I like played it on the regs. This is like, I'm talking about one party when I was maybe 16 or something. And just, even then, I was just there going, this is cringe, guys. The two that clearly are attracted to each other, just go off and do it.
Yeah.
And just done with it. Like,
media would have you think that this was like such a common experience. And I don't know if it was, because I've said this before, I was like a nerd. Like, I wasn't going to like boy-girl parties, right? Like, it just wasn't a thing I was doing. And so this never happened for me. I was never at a party where it was like spin the bottle time, 7 minutes in heaven time, like literally never. So this never happened for me. It was always one of those things when I was a teenager, I'm like, one day I'll get to like spin the bottle. What if this had been like your first kiss was like a spin the bottle experience? That sounds horrifying. So I'm kind of glad it never ended up happening for me.
Yeah.
But we're playing Spin the Bottle. We get a Stevie and Alexis kiss, which is very much like a very small little peck. And I love Alexis going like, ooh, to like Ted.
Yeah. Like during the whole, like, oh, my boyfriend's going to be so turned on by this. And it's like, oh gosh, Alexis, come on girl, get over it.
And then we get Alexis and Ted. And meanwhile, we should set up the whole Ted and Alexis situation because Alexis really wants to go to this party. Ted is supposed to be doing a neuterpalooza over the weekend. So he's going to be like spaying and neutering dogs all day long. So he says he can't go, but Alexis is like, come on, you deserve a night of fun. So he gets drunk on her rum, raspberry, coconut coolers. That's a lot of flavors all in one.
That's a lot. Really strong flavors as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets drunk on those and he shows up like full on ready to party. Like he has pre-gamed hard. So he's amped to play spin the bottle. He spins it and it lands on David. And Alexis is like, no, I think that's a respin. And Patrick is like, oh, I actually think that's between David and Stevie. But Ted, Ted is like, who's the lucky lady as he spins it? And David with the, that's offensive.
Do you think it was the term lucky lady or was it the fact that it landed on David? Like, I think probably a combo of the two.
Yeah. And so Ted lets out his first come here, big guy of the night. And he kisses David, like full on kisses him. And David looks so enthusiastic because when Ted comes in, Ted, my guy, we were just talking about Jesse's arms, but Ted's arms.
I was going to say, this is a week for arms in like TV from the way we're reviewing.
Yes. He's wearing a tank top. He's wearing a tank top and boxers and like.
Ted is attractive, okay? I don't know if you know.
Ted is attractive. And David also finds Ted attractive.
Is this news that Ted is attractive?
Yes. No, kind of. I think
we saw him on the motorbike.
Well, like, that's what I was going to say. The only other time in the show's history, I think, that we have been given permission to lust after Ted was the motorcycle moment. And David wasn't there. Like, Alexis was really the only one there. So I think this is the first time that people like David and Stevie and some of the other people at this party are like, Ted fucks. Like, I think this is the first time they're thinking that.
I love that that fits into your vernacular, though. Ted fucks.
He does.
Yeah, he does. Ted's got game. And I think, like, especially now that people aren't seeing him as, like, vet Ted, they're not seeing him as pun Ted or even like crying in the arms of Johnny like Ted. Like Ted, when he's confident and when he's like free of a few inhibitions because of a couple of coolers, he's a vibe. He's having a great time. He's the life of the party. Like the moment he turns up, everyone's enthusiastic about like Ted being there.
Alexis mostly is too, like, until she realizes that he is super drunk and she's like, oh, okay. And she, I think she even drops one of the only F-bombs in the episode, which is just like, what the fuck? Like, when the kiss happens. It's so funny. And Patrick is very bothered by this as well. And David, who's had, you know, we've heard from him, he never was Mr. Popular. Like, he always was more of a wallflower at any of these house parties growing up because he lived in the land of like the rich and famous and really good looking people. And he felt a little ostracized. Well, now he's kind of like Mr. Popular and he's really enjoying this. And Patrick and Alexis are not.
This is so good because you expect that Alexis in this situation, like we saw Alexis in season one with the party that she throws and she's the life of the party, she's pulling focus and David is the awkward one that's sitting off to the side, and it's a complete reversal of situation. And it's not even that they've even swapped roles really, it's just that David is so much more confident in himself and so much more free and accepted and just comfortable, and it's so great to see it because it's funny seeing Alexis basically pull out a little bit. It's like, that's great. And but just seeing David just have that glint of just mischievousness every single time is just so funny. Like, I loved it so much.
Yeah, because as Alexis says, things got effed and we're not having fun anymore. And David, and I love that the entire time, David is of the mindset that Patrick is jealous because David kissed Ted or Ted kissed David because they kissed. And I love that later on we get a little bit more clarification that Patrick is very conflicted because he's jealous of both of them.
Yeah. I love the honesty. Really, Yeah. I love the honesty because, like, David was hopeful that it was jealous of Ted being able to kiss David, and he was like, "No, a bit of both," because Ted's hot. I love that, just like, because it's now at the point where they're not tiptoeing around the formalities of a relationship. You have to say the right things. It's like they're so confident to like tell the truth, and for Patrick to say, "Yeah, Ted's hot and you kissed him and I'm kind of jealous of that," but equally a bit of the same way, but David's also comfortable to receive that and tease him back with it.
Yes, because he says, "Good, he kissed me, like I was just sitting there and I was told to have fun, so I played the game, and now you're saying you didn't want me to play the game and have fun." And I love that he calls Alexis on this bluff of like, "Well, fine, then I guess Patrick and I are going to kiss." And he's like, "Well, okay, please do." And Patrick immediately is like, "I hate this." And I love that they're about to do it, and then Alexis takes off her heels and he's like, "Really?"
That was so funny. I like to think that wasn't in the script and they've added that in. I don't know why. It just seems like the kind of joke that they would do. But
it was, and then that noises were so extra. Yum.
The yum was, the was enough. The yum just was just the cherry on top of just making that just the worst thing I've watched in the show for a long time.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.
So David is obviously not jealous at all. They have no chemistry. And then Ted comes over and, not being jealous at all, just goes, "Are we playing more spin the bottle?" I love that this show is willing to do sorts like these sorts of storylines without anyone actually having hurt feelings at the end of it. Like, it just makes it way more playful and fun and silly. And then, of course, you have Stevie poking the bear the entire time, and David calls her a tsetse fly. She just comes up. It's so funny.
Such a weird reference, like an obscure reference, and of course, yeah, so pointed. What do you think about Stevie being on her phone as well? Like, talking about like harkening back to high school parties, there was always a Stevie, right, doing exactly this.
Oh, who are you talking to? Oh, my boyfriend. Your boyfriend sucks. Like, come on. I used to hate.
Why are they
this.
Not here?
I used to hate this as someone who didn't have a boyfriend in high school, like up until I was closer to graduation. Like, it wasn't, and my boyfriend wasn't in high school when I had a boyfriend. So I never really had that experience of dating someone in high school while I was in high school. And so it always annoyed me. I'm like, "You're with your friends. Like, who gives a shit about your boyfriend?" You know? So I totally understand where like David is coming from, but yeah, of course. Stevie's in, like, has this thing going on with Amir. So, like, when you're long distance, you know, that's kind of how things have to go. But yeah, Stevie, pay attention. Spin the bottle already. Come on, get off your phone.
I like that they're acknowledging the honeymoon phase of a relationship where, like, you get together and everything that they say, you're kind of, like, besotted with. Like, these conversations, which are probably inane and not that great. Like, you look back on it, and you're like, what the hell were we actually talking about? But for Stevie, it's like the most enthralling thing ever. Like, so much more entertaining than the party and the people that she's around. And so it's kind of sweet that they do show that. And I like that it is progressing. Like, it's not just that
Amir gets a mention
away and we don't see it. Like, Amir's still there and present almost without actually having to be there, which I think is a really good touch. But I love the fact that it is just an absolute like a high school party, and there is always that one that's doing it. So for me, that was a really great touch. I know exactly who I'm thinking back was that role when I was at parties, like way back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever this person, because I usually try to be present. But then again, maybe at the start of a relationship, I would have been like this. But I'm also not the smooshiest, like, you know, type. So maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What about you? What is the honeymoon period for you? If you had to label, how long of a time period is it?
Well, I can think of, so we went through a period of having like a load of house parties, like my friends, like from about like 16 to 18. And I remember being in a relationship and being in that kind of like honeymoon phase at a party and doing like texting. But this was when, oh God, I'm really aging myself. T9. This is when texting really like started taking off. And I remember that in order to, because we were on like, me and all my friends, we were all on like pay-as-you-go like services.
Yeah.
You had to like
top
up credit and stuff. And I remember that you couldn't like top up like onto a website or anything. Didn't have websites on the phones. So you had to like phone up. And I knew the sequence of topping up my money and putting in my bank details to get the like the credit and stuff off by heart, that I would just call the number and then almost like text it.
Yeah.
And then get the money. And I was churning through like top ups of £10 each and every time. I remember one of that happening, but then I also remember distinctly admonishing other people for doing it at other parties when I wasn't in said relationships.
Yeah,
such a hypocrite.
Typical. That's now that I think about it, when I had my first boyfriend and I was like 16-17, I remember it was during one of the recessions. And gas prices, this is going to mean probably nothing to you, Stuart. Gas prices were over $5 a gallon. And for reference, like currently, they're like $3 and change a gallon. So like, and our country is effed. So like, you know that it was really bad when it was like $5 a gallon. And I would... Me and my boyfriend at the time, were we dating? We might have been dating at this point. We would just go for drives and just drive around. That was something that was kind of common to do where I'm from, because there's nothing around. So we would just drive around and like waste gas and money when gas was $5 a gallon. Like, it was so expensive.
You're saying that $5 for a gallon is bad. Yeah, currently it's £5.18 per gallon in the UK at the moment. Complain about like US gas prices. Like, never even ever complain
about
it.
To be fair, we have to drive really long distances.
You do. So, well, you don't have to. You could just choose not to travel.
Except for the fact that there's no public transit I can't get into this conversation. One of the other things that happens at this party is a game of Twister, which is such a trash game.
So trash. It never ends well. It only benefits like your highly flexible and super hot friends. Get out of here. For clumsy ass me, no.
Yeah, because I'm just going to squish everyone underneath me, and I don't want to feel that way. Like, I was always the tallest person in my friend group. I always had, like, I never had a thigh gap. Never once in my life have I had a thigh gap. All I've ever wanted is a thigh gap. And all my friends had thigh gaps.
What the hell? You talk about it as if it's something that you could, like, buy or something. Like, why do they get a thigh gap and I don't get a thigh gap?
Because I was born with some tree trunks. And so, yeah, I this is not a game. And all my friends were like cheerleaders and gymnasts. Like, no, thank you. Why was that? Well, I don't know how I found this friend group. Anyway, that was the other party or other game that was played at this party. But overall, it looks like they have a really fun time. And when we were talking a little bit about like Patrick and David, again, it's not very serious. They make up. I love the line of like, Alexis and I, we kind of wound each other up, and Stevie didn't help. And David goes, Stevie never helps.
She never helps. Like, I love it. So good.
It's so perfect. And then Alexis taking Ted home. And I love her pointing out, like, where did big guy come from? Like, what is happening? And he wants to, like, kiss and get a little spicy. And, you know, you kiss my brother tonight. I'm not kissing you after you kiss my brother. And he's like, oh, he's going to be fun, Ted. And then he tries to kiss her. And she's like, ew, Ted, ew. And then he goes, ew, 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 ew. That's you.
So what's perfect. Great about this is in the background Annie Murphy is laughing her ass off as well. So great. Like, I can't imagine how many takes this must have taken, because, like, it's so silly. The fact that he gets into bed with his slippers on, he's like, my feet get really cold when I drink.
Here's the thing though, because she says that's not a thing. I kind of disagree with this, because
what?
Not like this specific thing, but like, I have a phenomenon, and it is very real. Okay. It is very real, where, like, after I've imbibed too much, not an alcohol, but of another particular substance, like, my calves feel tingly. Like, they feel weird. And you almost have to, like, shake them a little bit.
Shake him? What, like, to wake him up?
Like jiggle him a little, yeah.
Oh, my, that's so
It also
funny.
Might be an ADHD thing, but it's probably, I don't think it is.
That's, well, so, I love that is confirmation that Ted's feet do get cold. Like, it's,
yeah.
I agree with Alexis. It's not a thing.
Well, you know what shouldn't be a thing, Alexis, is going to bed with a full face of makeup on. Girl, stop
really,
it.
Really bad makeup. I know that she was going for the whole,
well,
like,
it was
the
whole
Hefner
look.
Vibe thing, but yeah. Like, yeah, that was, it was not,
no, it's
not
just
a
not
great
her
look.
Coloring, because it's like a light pink lip and then like the eyeshadow. It's not for her, but like, she was going for like of a period, you know?
Yeah, she was going for like high school at the time, and Yeah.
Anything else about the housewarming party we need to talk about before we get into Johnny and Moira babysitting?
I liked the fact that, like, already Patrick has, like, not decorated, but he's like styled up the place. It looks so much better than what it did. So really tasteful kind of like pictures on the wall and everything like that. But, yeah, I think like Patrick's absolutely made the most of it. But yeah, I can't get over the his and his PJs. Like, the fact
and
that they were the exact same.
The open mic night was framed on the wall.
Yes, you sent that to me. I didn't notice on my first watch, and I melted when you sent it over. I was like, that's just so adorable.
It's a very sweet touch.
I love them so much.
It's so sweet. Okay, let's talk about Johnny and Moira babysitting. What did you think about Johnny getting, first of all, the fact that Roland and Jocelyn are going to Alexis to see if she can babysit is kind of wild to me. Like, of all the people to babysit, I don't know that Alexis would be my choice.
I mean, she did say that if Jocelyn ever needed anything, that she would be there. So, like,
I don't know.
I mean,
that doesn't sound like Alexis to me, Stuart. She's like, did I say it?
I don't know. I like, maybe, like, definitely, I think she said it, but didn't mean it or commit it to memory. Like, it sounds like the kind of thing that's like one of those fake promises you say to someone, like, oh, if you never need anything, call me. And it's like, if you ever call me, I'm never answering.
It's
go
just
away.
To be polite.
Yeah, exactly that. But I mean, don't say it then, like, technicality. And it seems that they are at their wit's end and they desperately need this couple's massage. But still, it's your baby. Sure, baby. Stop making it other people's problem.
Listen, Jocelyn has given this baby to a stranger to look after. So I suppose Alexis is a step up from that. But Johnny is offended because Jocelyn never asks him and Moira. And they've raised two kids. So why didn't they get asked? So he volunteers them, which, wild thing to do, in my opinion. But I don't like babies, so maybe that's just me. But like, I would never voluntarily be like, let me watch your tiny baby that has explosive diarrhea and spits up all over the place.
I don't understand why people would obligate themselves to look after kids. It's such a burden in terms of like the things you have to do, the stress of it, like, I don't know, eating something it's not meant to, crawling into something it's not meant to, like, just why would you nominate yourself for that? Like, I get it. I get the offense of you not being considered, because it is kind of like, oh, why do they not think that I'm responsible? Get over it. Like, it's so easy to do. You just go, oh, well, that's effing rude. Oh, well, moving that's on. It. I would like to have the eggs Benny, please, Twilight. Like, I can get over it.
Yeah.
But I would never offer out of a sense of like, no, screw them. I'm going to show them I can be responsible. I'd be like, thank God they are never going to ask me ever.
Yeah.
That's like a pet weight sitting, on my shoulders.
I'm there all day long. Babies? No, thank you. Absolutely not. And so Johnny volunteers them, and Moira already has plans. She's supposed to go over to Ronnie's and watch a Lifetime movie of hers that is being re-aired, Not Without My Cousin. She has a whole outfit picked out, but when she sees how kind of useless Johnny is with this baby, she's not much better. Actually, she's pretty worse. She is like, well, I guess I'll just like stay and help you. And there are some like ridiculous lines. Like, you've completed the diaper substitution. What a way to say you've changed a baby's diaper.
Like, she was so, isn't it scheduled to be dormant by now? Just, yeah. I want to commit that to memory so that I say it for any crying baby ever again in my life.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I Moira's outfit, first off, I mean, let's talk about that, like, because it's in a way tacky but also stunning. Like, it caught sight, like, she was literally glowing the entire episode.
How did they there was film this, like, her little wearing haze. This
I don't know, like, I there must have been like some sort of editing or something, because there was a slight glow around her the entire episode. I don't know how like they didn't capture like crew and cameras in the reflections of it all the time, but how on earth are these giant sequins a choking hazard for a baby? Like, what is Jocelyn imagining that this kid is going to do? Like, a snake just extend its jaw and just swallow them whole? Like, what the hell is she on about?
Like, if this baby had the audacity to rip one of these sequins off of the sweater, you're going to have to worry about a lot more than it just choking on the sequin, because Moira is going to murder the baby. Like, truly.
Imagine trying to explain that.
And so dumb. Not only are they having to watch this baby, but Jocelyn leaves them with an insane binder that is like a 3-inch binder.
I'm so here for that, though. I'm so here for that. Because
it has tabs.
Yeah, like, I love a well-organized binder. I love documentation. I like instructions for things to do if something goes wrong. Like, it's very much scratching that part of my brain of like, oh, there is a problem. Ah, there is a solution. I can, like, find things. I don't want to, like, put it up to chance. Like, if a baby makes a weird gurgly noise or if it spits up, I don't know if that's normal or not. And I don't want to be in that position where I have to like phone Jocelyn to be like, oh, they've been sick. What do I do? Because then it makes me feel as if I am not that good at this whole job. So a binder, I would appreciate the binder if I was in that position.
I agree. I mean, when my mom watched our dogs, I did give her a Google document with like any information she might possibly need. Now, it was like 2 pages. Like, it wasn't as extensive as the binder was, but also their dog's not a baby, so maybe there's a difference there. But what I don't understand is, like, why do you have to wipe the baby counterclockwise? Like, what does the direction in which you wipe have any... It's a butthole. Like, literally, it's a butthole. As long as it's clean, I don't understand why there's like, what?
We've reached the natural point of the podcast where we overanalyze too much, where a throwaway joke is something that we're genuinely questioning. Yeah, it's so gotta be like a silly joke. Although the flip it was the funniest thing for me.
The baby?
If you're changing a baby and it's a little baby boy, I think you're gonna flip something like that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Ew. Things are so gross.
So dumb. The direction is so stupid. Like, I love that Jocelyn would have I don't know, maybe she's read, like, I don't know, maybe it's, like, better for the baby's long-term health. Like, Jocelyn seems like someone that
all
the forums for all, like, the best basic advice and stuff.
Well, especially because Mutt's so screwed up, so they're like, we gotta get this one right. And
also, it's been a long time as well. Like, yeah. I feel like it's very much like, cause, I mean, she even refers to them, it's like their miracle baby. So, like, I think she's feeling like quite precious about it all, and like she has
to. I just grimaced because I don't know why it bothers me when people are like, it's our miracle child. It's like, is it? Is it? Because this is kind of just science. Like, this is kind of just how this works. But okay.
I just had a really stupid thought. There's not a Meryl Streep film called Miracle, is there? Like, maybe that explains why it's
called. I don't know.
Oh, I hope not.
But yeah, like then, so right then Johnny gets spit up on by the baby. And I do love, aren't you the Sephardic Mr. Clean? And the baby spits up and Moira starts like freaking out. Its body is ejecting things. What did you do to it? Perhaps you swaddled its abdomen too tightly. Did you feed it shellfish? It's crawling pneumonia. And so she's like, oh, Jocelyn says right here, spitting up is normal. She's written, spit happens.
Amazing.
So good. It's so good. Yeah, I love
Talking spit. That's the new pod
Talking
now.
Talking spit. That's it. Everything ends up being fine. The baby falls asleep. Johnny ends up falling asleep because he's exhausted. Moira's still up. Really, she's really glued to the television screen. She loves watching herself in a Lifetime movie. And I love when Roland and Jocelyn come to pick him up. Moira's just like, yeah, we're not doing this again. You're welcome, but never again, because this baby is loud and annoying.
Yeah, is it like massage that idea out of your minds in the future? Yes. Like, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I love it. And I don't know, this episode has two incredible plot lines and they just are in the same episode. So it's like, what's not to love? You know, this entire episode is gold.
Yeah. So it just hits on all fronts. And I like the fact that I feel like the Johnny and Moira side of it is them taking the foot off the gas. And still that's also going at a pace and like is really funny. And so it's so great when you've got like two competing storylines and both are just really solid. Like we're not feeling as if like, oh, okay, now we get to breathe and go into this one that is there to kind of like slow the pace or to like just have an excuse to pull away and it being a bit of a drag on the episode. It's great to jump between the two and be like, well, what's happening in this one? What's happening in this one? Like I need to know. Yeah. Top tier.
It's so fun. Anything else you want to talk about before we jump in to do our ratings?
Just curious about what your thoughts were on the couples massage and maybe Linda's magic fingers. Like,
Is it
anything more?
I have gotten a massage once in my life and it was fine, but like, I wouldn't do it again. I don't know. I just find it, and this is a me problem. I'm saying that right away. I find it very weird to like be naked and have a stranger just like touching me. Like I cannot get over that. There's there's a hurdle and I cannot cross it. It's just not for me. So a couple's massage doesn't sound like a good time with me because we're just doubling the amount of strangers in the room. And it, like, you know, am I supposed to talk? Am I not supposed to talk? Am I supposed to just lay there? Like, what's the rule? What's the normal thing to do? I'm always trying to find the normal thing to do and I probably never find it. Not for me. Not for me. Probably what about
you? I don't mind the massage, but like they have to be like the ones where you come away afterwards and you feel like you've just gone like three rounds with like Mike Tyson. Like I want to feel in pain afterwards because I know that it's going to heal. Like almost like I'll feel better in the long run. But like I don't get massaged that often. But yeah, it is they're always awkward, like so awkward.
Isn't it weird? It's just a weird thing to do. Like, and I'm not shading anyone who gets them. Like, if you can get over that hurdle, then like by all means. But it's just weird to me, and I can't get over it. Like, I get, I don't like talking to strangers. I certainly am not going to want a person I don't know, like, rubbing my bare shoulders. It's just weird. Like, am I supposed to talk to them? It's like whenever I go to, like, the dentist, and they're, like, trying to have a conversation. Like, it's just like, ugh. Why am I put in these situations? Can I just put headphones
on? If you're getting a haircut, do you talk to the hairdresser?
Yes, because I have to.
See, this is why the barbers I go to, funny enough, talking about like getting haircuts a lot today. We talked about it just before, but the one that I go to, guy is silent throughout. I love it.
I'm so
much.
Jealous of that. Yeah. No, I. Well, the problem is now I've been going to the same hairdresser for like a number of years, so like we do chat because it's like. She knows a decent bit about my life. I know a decent bit about her. So, you know, you kind of have to. Mm-hmm. I wish I didn't have to, but it feels like the societal pressure to make small talk, and small talk is literally one of my least favorite things. So I don't know. It's just the way it is, I guess.
We're the awkward kids at the party watching the cool kids interact in life.
Literally always me. And the thing is like at first glance, if you caught me in a small group, I do seem like the most outgoing person. And I am, until I'm in like a massive group. And then I'm like, I don't want to be seen. Like, ignore me. I'm not here. Just don't look at me. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Let's get into our ratings. I think this is a tough one for both awards. Like, this is actually very difficult. But I do think I know who I want to give my Simply the Best point to. I think we have some solid options.
I found that to be easier than Disgruntled Pelican, certainly.
Yeah. So my options for what is it? Oh my God. Simply the Best are Johnny is an option because I do think volunteering to watch someone's baby.
It's a nice gesture.
Real nice thing to do. Even if you're like spiteful about it, it's still a very nice thing to do. I think David has a great episode. Like, he's actively like putting himself out there and like doing things he normally wouldn't do. So I think he has a very fun episode. But I can't not choose the big guy himself, Ted, because the way he just lets loose and he could have just stayed home and then done his Neuterpalooza, but like, he does deserve a night out. And I thought he's so funny. And he just, I don't know. I just love Ted this episode. So I had to give him the point.
I'm glad you did. Because I felt like Ted deserved a point for this. But I think there were many, many, many situations when we come to these rankings where David misses out on points because someone just, like, edges ahead a little bit. And for me, I loved Ted and he was incredibly funny, but I found David's teasing throughout the entire episode so much funnier. And so, like, I've got to give it to David for exactly that. And also, like, just adding the maturity of the relationship to it, like, everything. Like, the whole dynamic between David and Patrick is just so great. And I appreciate that we get a decent relationship on TV that isn't tropey and is just honest and mature but also immature at the same time. I love it.
Yeah, it's so great. Disgruntled Pelican is like significantly harder because I don't find anyone does anything horribly offensive or like bad. Did you have a particular way you were leaning? Because I feel like if we're getting on people's cases, we could be like, okay, Alexis being jealous, not a great look. Patrick being jealous, not a great look. Although I would argue Alexis is worse because she seems immediately turned off that Ted is drunk. And like, it's not fun to be the sober person around drunk people or to be the sober one in a relationship and have to deal with a drunk partner. Like, I get that. That is not a fun time. But like, this is Ted's one night off, Alexis. Like, let him kiss your brother, you know, let him have some fun. So, like, we could get on her case for that. I feel like Jocelyn and Roland just trying to shove their baby onto people is also not great. But I feel like you kind of have to penalize both of them. You can't just say one or the other, right? Like, because they're both doing it. It's the both of them are active participants in pawning their baby off on someone else.
Some prime candidates, yes. Still not who I'm going for.
Whoa. Okay, wait. Let me look at my list here. Who else we got? Okay, it's not Patrick. Is it Stevie for being on her phone during the party?
It is. It's Stevie for being on her phone from the party. Stevie. I'm sorry. She got enough warnings. And like, after a time, you have to say, no, I'm going to be involved. And too little too late, I'm afraid, Stevie.
Yeah. Okay, would you allow me, and I'll let you decide this. If you say no, it's totally fine. Would you allow me to give a minus half a point to each Roland and Jocelyn?
Hold on. Jess Sterling, who notoriously on all podcasts when it comes to rankings hates half points, wishes to give a half point.
Well, either that or I'm giving both of them minus one, because I don't know how you separate this. Because again, if it was one of the two of them doing the asking, I think you realistically can hoist it onto one of them. But they're both awful. They're both doing this.
Oh,
Jocelyn is the one who makes the choking hazard comment.
Let's go with a half, because I think it creates a bit more chaos here. Okay. Firstly, well, I think it also does two things. It achieves two things. One, it means that Jocelyn doesn't get a whole point, which I think stops us from getting review bombed.
Yeah.
But secondly, I think a half point, that might just be just enough to save or to ruin someone's rankings here. So I like that.
It's true. Okay, yeah. Let's do it. So Jocelyn and Roland for me, because I get the being on your phone thing is what I more so don't want to give it to Stevie, because I do like how she instigates so many things this episode. It brought me immense joy. Okay, well, let's get into wig watch, because we do have a wig to discuss this episode, and it is in the very first scene of the episode. Have we seen this wig before? I feel like we have.
Probably. It's quite an understated wig. I think probably the thing that's pulling focus more is the fingerless gloves that she's got going on, and the outfit, really.
Yeah.
This is, I think, a very tame wig when it comes to
It's giving
wigs.
Wednesday Addams. I'm not a huge fan of it, because I find the darker wigs tend to just blend in with Moira's outfits, because she also tends to wear black.
Exactly,
So it's not really working for me. You gotta be honest, but
sad times for wig watch.
Yeah, Moira, come on, you could do better. This looks like a wig that anyone would wear, and that's not okay for you to be wearing it then.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Drag her.
The wig is wearing her, and that's not great.
The wig is not wigging.
Okay, let's rank the episode. It's time. We have to tier rank the episode. As a reminder, we have Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, You, David, and Shit Out of Luck. Can you see my screen? There it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a delay. Okay. Any inclination of where you want to put this one right away, Stuart?
Quite high. And like, I mean, I want to like just out of the box be like, oh, the top one. But instinct is high up in the list. What about you?
It's going to be in Hot Shit. Like, it has to be in Hot Shit. I think we're just at the point where it's a matter of where does it belong within Hot Shit. And I think my argument is both of these storylines are memorable and iconic. Like, I will always remember Johnny and Moira babysitting the bebé. And I will always remember the housewarming party where Ted kisses David. Like, there's not a storyline that misses, and maybe it's slightly easier because there's only two of them, but there's not a single moment of this episode that I feel like is wasted. I enjoy every single minute of it. So I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I feel like I want to put it all the way at the top, but is Love Letters better?
Oh, Love Letters is really sweet, but these were two banger storylines that hit on like the comedic front, like so much. I think this one edges ahead. I think this one is top one so far.
Look at that. Look at three Hot Shit episodes.
Yes.
And five episodes.
It's a good season.
En fuego. We are freaking en fuego right now. Oh, love to see it. So that's the ranking. That's where we're at. I mean, this season is knocking it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. So, it is.
Stuart, would you like to know what the next episode is titled?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, of course.
Season 5, episode 6, Rock On! Exclamation point.
Is it written out? Exclamation point.
No, it's just there. But I felt like I had to say it because you like that's important. Rock on! It's, you know, it's exclaimed.
Did I make a theory that they'd have a festival?
Yes. You had some sort. Yeah, you had some theory like that.
Am I right?
You also had like the Jazza Gals doing something. I think.
Maybe this could be that. Maybe like Jazza Gals. I don't know, some sort of music competition or a festival that comes to town, maybe, or it's nearby, maybe Elmville or whatever. Could be that.
Let's see. I'm looking. Jazza Gals record an album. Jazza Gal Fest, some sort of big performance. Shit Fest, some sort of festival in town. These were your guesses. So
could be, yeah. I imagine if it was Rock Shit Fest, though, the title would be Shit Fest, though. So yeah, maybe something adjacent to it. I don't know. If it's anywhere even close, you know I'm going to claim it. So
of course, yeah. Well, let's hope. Can't do worse than last season where I don't think you got anything right. So still waiting for that Bob and Johnny fist fight.
Still waiting for someone to lose a hand.
So that will be next episode. Can't wait to talk about that one. This one was incredible. I think one of the best episodes of the show, honestly. Like, I don't know if that's too high of praise, but it's just so good, you know. And the lines, you've completed the diaper substitution. What? Come here, big guy.
Like, yeah. Ew, that's you.
I loved it so much. Yeah. So that'll be next week. In the meantime, if you want something a little bit more sad, but still very fun, go check out Look for the Light, where we're talking about The Last of Us Season 2, which if you're not watching it, what are you actually doing, though?
Oh, it's so good.
So good. So go watch that show and then listen to the podcast. And anything else, Stuart? Anything else you want to talk about, tell the people about?
Just remember, everyone, if you're above the age of 25, Jello shots probably not for you.
don't listen to Stuart. You do whatever you want. Okay? You slurp those Jello shots down, and let us know if you want us to take Jello shots when we reach 200 YouTube subscribers, because that would be a time. All right. Well, until next time, everyone. Warmest regards
and best wishes.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.